We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where did that come from?
Just having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
It's a Darkens and Dusty edition today. AJ back tomorrow. This hour, Trista Crick, our BetMGM tonight / BetQL Network insider. We'll talk some gambling. Will's got his conspiracy corner we need to get to.
Still in progress.
Yeah. And then we have to talk some Timbers. We'll do that at the top of next hour. I got Timbers talk.
Do you really?
I really do.
Okay. Are you sure you do? I know you're a soccer guy. I'm a little concerned how that segment's going to go, though. I've never heard you talk super extensively about the Timbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I'm a little worried.
I'm going to go. We're going to break down the defensive strategy against New York. From my experience as a first grade soccer coach.
That's not good.
For the Blue Dragon Diamond Princesses.
They weren't that good.
Excuse me, sir. We went 6-0-1.
Did you really?
Yes.
How did the tie go?
It was game one. It was a rocky start. I didn't like it.
You guys started the season with a tie?
Yeah. In a league that didn't count goals, but I guarantee you, every single one of the girls on our team was counting those goals.
Wait a minute. They didn't count?
No. There's actually two goals on the field on each side.
So I got to tell you, now you played
best. To one goal on each side may change my defensive philosophy.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now, did you play basketball? Like, when did you start playing competitive basketball as a child?
Second grade. Yeah.
Okay. What was the point at which you started keeping score? Or did you guys always do that? Because we...
First or second grade.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, in the Lake Oswego School District, they did not keep score even when you were in like fifth and sixth grade.
Hmm.
You just played the game.
I see. That's the difference. Back in my day.
Now...
Yeah. No, I'm not for that.
Yeah. See, now...
Keep score.
Yeah. The reason I mention this is because, as you might imagine, Kevin Love played... in those leagues because, you know, it was Lake Oswego School District. And there was one moment in particular where he played against another team that one of the kids on the sideline of the families was keeping score on a notepad.
Uh-huh.
And they had little tick marks.
Uh-huh.
And they was us and them on either side.
I like that.
And the us side had maybe about like almost a row filled out of tick marks. And the them side with Kevin Love on their team was just tick marks all down the sheet.
Yeah.
And then it was only until like later in my life did I think back and go, I think that's why they didn't keep score.
No, they should have sent young Will Darkens a message. And that, guess what? Sometimes there's guys like Kevin Love,
yeah,
who are just better than you.
Yes.
They really are.
In all facets of life.
Yep.
I don't think I was ready to learn that lesson when I was like 10 or 11.
Well, from the sounds of it, it doesn't sound like from some of your takes, the people of Lake Oswego aren't ready to learn that lesson that there's people better than them.
No.
They're better than everybody.
It's egregious.
All right. No, I won't be breaking down strategy for the Timbers. But the MLS Cup final is here, and it's a huge sporting. It's the first major sporting event that we've had here in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And Timbers fans, some of them are pretty pissed off right now because the diehards can't even go to the game.
Mm.
We'll talk about that next hour. But the bar's rising in college football. This is something to keep an eye on. There are really no updates to the Oregon head coaching vacancy right now. And I will say this. I think that's a really good thing. That tells you that the people in charge and the people administering this search, they are buttoned up about it, right? Because as you see the list that initially came out of, hey, these are the people that should be interested, right? The thing, remember when Willie Taggart was hired, how that list continued to keep growing and they acted relatively quick on it, right? But names like Willie Taggart were popping up after that initial surge of names came out. And so what, you know, if you read between the lines, it tells me that that list is still who Oregon is working on there, whether it's Dave Aranda, Matt Campbell, Kalani Sitake. Even if you don't like it, like I would not be 100% on board with the Chip Kelly reunion here in Portland or in Portland at Oregon. That would be a weird move to me. But those names, even like Luke Fickell, who is buried down that list, right? If you're going to get a guy like Luke Fickell, it ain't going to be before December 31st. I can tell you that much, right? Because he's coaching in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But as this list continues to be more of the same names, I think that that is a good thing. But what you look around the world of college football, we've seen this already, like with the Lane Kiffin contract extension that we talked about. He went from like $3.5-4 million a year to $7.5 million. Is what he's average is going to be on his contract extension. That is 4 years, which is the maximum that you can give a guy in the state of Mississippi. So if you look at that contract extension, pay for coaches is going through the roof. We've seen it with Mel Tucker. We've seen it with James Franklin and his contract extension. And obviously we're seeing it with Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. Head coach pay is skyrocketing right now in college athletics. That is one thing. But as Oregon is searching for a head coach, it's also something to keep an eye on is what are the numbers that are going to be trickling out for LSU, Oklahoma, and USC for their assistant coach pay? Because as head coach pay is skyrocketing, so are the coordinators, because Jeff Lebby was just hired as the OC at Oklahoma. He is a guy that doesn't have sole play calling duties at Ole Miss. He and Lane Kiffin share the play calling duties offensively for Ole Miss.
Mm.
He's getting paid $2 million a year.
Yeah.
Is the report out there to go from Ole Miss to Oklahoma. A guy who, again, is not the sole play caller for Ole Miss's high flying offense that is extremely fun to watch. This is going to be the interesting part is coordinators, because Clemson's looking for coordinators now. You've got Notre Dame is set with theirs. They got Marcus Freeman as the head coach and Tommy Reese is their OC, but you've got LSU, Oklahoma, USC, Miami, and what Mario Cristobal is going to be paying his assistant coaches. This is something to keep an eye on, because remember, it wasn't until Willie Taggart got to Oregon that the powers that be, Rob Mullins, Phil Knight, Pat Kilkenny, the Miletuses, they weren't willing to pony up those big bucks for assistant coach pay until that happened. Well, now we're getting to a point where even that bar is going to be raised even higher. So I think this is going to be the fascinating part about the coaching cycle is it's not just getting the head coach, but are you willing to pay $2 million for each of your coordinators as well? Because remember, Mario Cristobal he wasn't getting paid $7 million. He's getting paid just a little bit more than these coordinators are getting paid when he got hired at Oregon. This is going to be a big jump for the Ducks.
Well, and two, I think that what you're talking about here, these assistant coaches, essentially, these coordinators getting these, you know, big contracts, I guess, in comparison to what they used to get, it really, to me, is more of a reaction to what are considered like the alpha males in the coaching world. Your Nick Sabans, your Dabo Sweeneys, your, I guess, what looks like Ryan Days, your Kirby Smarts, your go down the list as far as you would like to. There's maybe a handful of them where they got both sides of it. They know how to coach the hell out of the football. They know how to score points. They know how to draw up impeccable game plans, but they also know how to recruit. And I think that with Mario Cristobal, that was a very, 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 very glaring thing about him, which was it didn't seem like he knew how to manage a football game. It genuinely didn't. It seemed like he was very set on doing one thing and he would not change tactics no matter what. And he leaned heavily on coordinators who would then get mixed messages about what type of play calls they would want to have. But at the end of the day, Cristobal kind of built the program in his likeness, which is I want a massive offensive line. I want big dudes up front and I want to dominate on the line of scrimmage. I think what you're seeing now, especially at Oklahoma, and especially at these other places, is that they say, okay, let's let the head coach be the CEO. Let's let him build out the staff, but he might not know exactly how to use this thing. That's where you bring the coordinators in. That's how we compete against guys like Saban and Sweeney and Ryan Day.
Well, that's what Dabo did.
That's what Dabo
with,
did.
With
yep.
Tony Elliott and Brent Venables, who now is at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And you're also seeing that like Ohio State, they just made another coordinator hire, and then the financials on that will be interesting to see. Because they went and they got themselves a new defensive coordinator after firing theirs when Oregon ran all over them. Can you believe that what we saw at the end of the year, that Oregon team ran roughshod in the horseshoe?
I really no. And it's what makes me reconsider who you would take for the Heisman.
CJ Stroud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he improved that much.
Yeah, that was...
Dude, that's a 180, honestly. I've never seen somebody improve that quickly.
Well, injuries played a huge role in Oregon's, you know, step backs that they took throughout the course of the year. But they did take a massive leap forward.
Yeah.
Ohio State did.
Yeah, man. I mean, seriously, even watching that, you remember that Minnesota game, watching him play.
But you know what? College football is my big gripe. It's like we don't allow teams or athletes to get better over the course of the year.
Oh, you mean like let them get better?
Yeah, like we don't allow, like it's like, oh no, that guy we saw against Minnesota, no, same guy. Still in there.
Yeah.
No, you can get better. You can get a lot better in college football.
Well, I think that guy Quentin, what's his nuts, Ewers, right?
Oh, Quinn kind Ewers?
I think he anticipated that too. Now he's leaving, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's already gone. This is something else too that apparently Texas is trying to lure, you know, hold on. We are over, so we'll pin this on the other side of the break. But Quinn Ewers in Texas, the funny business of NIL is showing its face in that transfer.
Mm.
AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Holocaust from the land of the lost. Behold the pale horse, or course. Follow me, Wu-Tang gotta be. The best things since Starks and Clark Wallabies.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
We're talking about the rising pay in college football and name, image, and likeness kind of changing the game. Well, there's these reports out of Texas. You mentioned Quinn Ewers, the Ohio State prospect who should have been a senior in high school this year, but the state of Texas wouldn't let him cash in on name, image, and likeness while he was still in high school. So he enrolled early at Ohio State and took a look around and went, I think CJ Stroud's going to be pretty good. And he's already in the portal, gone. Weird. This guy is like the number one quarterback prospect like ever. And he's supposed to be the real deal. Well, he's on the move. And now apparently like there's a report the other day that Texas was like saying he'd get like first round draft pick NIL money if he came to Texas.
What, like publicly?
No, like that was part of like the pitch. It's like the dirty side of name, image, and likeness is that like, hey, you come and you don't have to say like Texas isn't saying I like Steve Sarkisian isn't going, you know what? I'm going to line you up with this, this, and this. But you take a look at the fan base and you go, dude, you'll get, if you come here, we got crazy rabid fan bases and companies. And look at how big of a deal Texas is. You get first round money, baby.
Well, he's from Texas, right?
That's, yes, he is.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's why.
From Austin.
Yeah. See, that's what really confused the hell out of me when he left in the first place. Like, if you really wanted to make that much NIL money, why wouldn't you just do it at a place like Texas or Texas A&M where you already have a built-in fan? Like, everybody in that state probably knows him and loves him already.
Yeah, that, I think, is the reason why he wanted out so he wasn't in high school. He wanted to get that money then and now. And Ohio State is the same way. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, but he just looked at the writing on the wall and was like, oh, the Stroud dude, he gets it. He's pretty good. And how am I going to win this job over? So he took the easiest path and said, deuces, I'm out.
Next Joe Burrow.
But yeah, that's going to be the interesting part about this is that like, will companies, and I've long said this about name, image, and likeness, like 2021 is not the year to look at if you want to have a gauge on name, image, and likeness, because nobody really knew how to handle it. And he's got a lot of weird content and he's kind of a weird dude, but Darren Revelle made a pretty good point in a piece that he did for the Action Network. Who were the hottest names in name, image, and likeness before the season started? Do we remember who the big
Spencer
guys were?
Spencer Rattler, I remember.
He's in the portal.
Kayvon Thibodeau, he's leaving, but I remember he was big time.
He wasn't considered one of the biggest in the country, though. Just look at quarterbacks. Look at quarterbacks. Mm. The guys were Spencer Rattler, North Carolina quarterback Sam Howell, who was one of the Heisman favorites at the beginning of the year.
Right.
I think he had the third best odds, maybe.
Sure.
DJ Ungalele at Clemson.
Yeah.
De'Arik King at Miami.
I do remember De'Arik King being a big deal.
He signed a deal with the Florida Panthers.
The hockey team.
The University of Miami quarterback. And then you had McKenzie Milton at Central Florida. who is coming back from injury.
Right, yeah.
And he was, you know, just a great story. Think about that. Now look at who the Heisman guys are. And remember that at the very beginning of this, before we even knew who he was, remember what Nick Saban said? Bryce Young? Bryce Young has already got like, you know, seven figures or whatever it was that he said in endorsement deals. And you're going, whoa, like Bryce Young had never played a snap and nobody knew. That one worked out.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of the big names. It's college football. This is what happens.
Yeah. And I think too, that's going to be something that'll develop over the market, creating a little bit of hesitancy from companies. And I don't know about you. I said this from the very beginning. I mean, I'm all for NIL and having them do it. That's okay. But at least from a business perspective, I look at it and I'm like, the hell I'm going to invest in an 18-year-old? Why?
Well, because, and this is the thing, is that at the end of the day, it comes down to, can your company make money off of these deals? Because if you're just throwing money away, companies aren't going to do it, especially small companies, right? Yeah. Small businesses. And this is where, that's why I've always said 2021 isn't the year to look at for name, image, and likeness. The floodgates open, and it turned into an incredible, incredible cash cow for student athletes. But the market will correct itself. And I think it will over the next handful of years as businesses get used to throwing money in the marketing departments of college athletes, which is so unpredictable. Like, there are guys that are knowns, you know, and when you have a known, yeah, you should be throwing money at them. Like BJ Baylor, anybody in Corvallis about like week three, any of those small, but they should have been all over trying to get BJ Baylor for a name, image, and likeness deal, right?
Corvallis Subaru.
Whatever. American Dream Pizza.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
You go and you get that name, image, and likeness because he's the biggest name on that football team, right? I think that is going to be kind of where most of that money is made. And we talked about, like, I mentioned J.J. McCarthy yesterday, the Michigan quarterback, who he was splitting time, and he donated $10,000 to children's hospitals and the Oxford High School community in Michigan. He did that yesterday because of his name, image, and likeness money that he made.
Pretty great.
Like, that is, and you're going to see a lot of good that is happening. It's not going to ruin the sport, but I think it's really interesting. It's already, hey, transfer portal, hey, come on over, Quinn Ewers.
Well, and I think too, like another factor playing into what you're saying, the fact that 2021, you know, just isn't the year, is that I would argue for at least the past 2 years, college football hasn't had like a real star. You know what I mean?
A true star.
Yeah, like since Joe Burrow, there has not been a guy that everybody just like gloms onto.
Joe Burrow was just 2 years ago, though. I mean, we go through these little cycles where it's a, I mean, Trevor Lawrence,
super dead. Joe Burrow was more of the guy, and even in Trevor Lawrence's last season, it was kind of.
This year is definitely, like, to your point is 100%. Like, this year is.
There's nobody.
It's a weird year. Yeah. But I think that with a year like this, think about what's going to happen next year, though. You know, like those guys like a CJ Stroud, or we got a lot of pups, Bryce Young, they'll be back. They're going to be back, and they will be those household names. This was like a weird transition year where like nobody was there to set it up because the best team in the country all season long was Georgia, which played two quarterbacks.
Yeah. And had an incredible defense.
And one of them was JT Daniels, who looks like Bucko Bruce from the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers logo. He's got the Dusty Hera conquistador mustache.
Now, it's a damn shame that NIL isn't allowing these kids to cop tobacco. Because if I were JT Daniels, I would do a Grizzly contract immediately.
Yeah.
He's got a face for Grizz.
Yeah. A lipper.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you Gardner Minshew wouldn't have cared. He would have just done it anyways. Could you imagine Minshew money?
Oof. Yeah, really, especially up there. I mean, you know, also, you know, Tyler Shuck, did you follow Tyler Shuck at all when he went to Texas Tech? Like anything about him?
No.
Okay. He actually made a good amount of money off of NIL,
which I found
very surprising just because of the fact that, like, I get it. He was the starting quarterback for Oregon, but I would imagine nationally he was a bit of an unknown. It was surprising to me because I followed him on Instagram and like it seemed like every other week he was copping something. Now, given sometimes it was like a frozen yogurt shop.
And that's what it should be. Like that, and that's why I say it'll be local. That's like BJ Baylor, American Dream Pizza, right? Travis Dye should be Tracktown Pizza. Mm-hmm. Like that's what, that's the way it should be, is like the local businesses, you're hawking those products.
Yeah. And then you'll get your terrible commercials, because if you thought that some athletes are terrible in TV ads, adult athletes, wait till you see teenagers.
Well, I do. I bet college athletes are going to be better.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because some of them, like, you don't know any better for some of them. They'll just hawk whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love it.
I just think back to the McLaughlin ad with LaMarcus Aldridge.
And yes.
It is the prime example of don't let athletes talk in ads.
Shabazz is the man, too. That, like, we need more of those. Shabazz is the man,
yeah.
Right. Let's talk some sports gambling here. Trista Crick, BetMGM tonight. She is the host, BetQL Network. She joins us after Will with SportsCenter.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
As we are joined every Wednesday at this time by BetMGM Tonight host, our BetQL Network insider and host of the Heat Check podcast on the Odyssey Podcast Network, we are joined now by Trista Crick. Trista, how's it going?
Man, you put a little stank into the Heat Check too. I like that.
Yep, of course I did.
The Heat Check, yeah, I like that.
Heat Check is a great basketball related podcast, and you, as a Portland native, you spent your last podcast all about the Trailblazers and the gifts that they keep giving us of news stories that are dumped day in and day out here. It seems like there's something new every single day. And since the last time we talked to you, Neil O'Shea has been dismissed. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that it's been coming for a while. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I think that there's a delay in terms of how we're allowed to treat employees in athletics versus any other industry. And because it's such a hyper competitive field, and because, you know, athletes and former athletes are used to, especially guys who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, like people in the general management and the front office have been, like, they've been used to being abused. You know what I'm saying? And so there, that trickles downhill. And I think that there's like a normalization to not treating your employees well. There was a story about Brian Kelly making Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh park cars in the snow. Yeah. And then they decided that they would never treat their assistants like that if they ever became, or whenever they became, in the cream of the crop. And other coaches and other management, they decide to go the other way and kind of perpetuate that. So I wasn't surprised that he was let go, based around, I think, COVID has changed the way that people see work and what they're willing to put up with. And I don't think people are willing to put up with that level of toxicity anymore, even though it was allowed and somewhat celebrated as like a badge of armor or something to hang your hat on. Like, oh yeah, when I was playing football or when I was playing basketball, like, my head coach put me in a shed. And it's like, well, that's not what we're doing anymore. So, you know, it's not surprising. I think it was a long time coming. And truthfully, like, Jody Allen, you know, we'll call her owner in chief, or, you know, she's kind of the holding down the fort until Portland finds a real owner to kind of like put their hands around this, their arms around this. Like, she maxed out CJ, she extended Neil, and she really didn't know what was going on, you know, because they went to the Western Conference Finals. And she thought that everything was good. And, like, everything's not good. Neil O'Shea, as much of – I had a good relationship with Neil, but as much of, you know, how much applause and how much praise he got for taking, you know, CJ in the draft, and some of the we'll call it recognition for Dame, even though he wasn't responsible for that.
Right.
You know, he struggled to draft guys. Yep. Like, the Zach Collins draft is going to go down as maybe the worst blunder in Portland Trail Blazers history outside of Sam Bowie, in my opinion. Like, you had Donovan Mitchell in that draft that you could have gotten. You had Bam Adebayo that you could have gotten. You had John Collins that you could have gotten. You had OG Anunoby you could have gotten. Like, you had many, many players that would have helped this roster that you decided instead to take some seven-footer from Gonzaga, which, you know, anybody who's been watching basketball knows that's not the business anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a winning proposition. So I'm happy that that move got made. I think it should have been made regardless of how he treated his employees, because truthfully, he wasn't a good talent evaluator, and his mindset was very much stuck in the mid-90s in terms of how he saw players, which is why he loved CJ McCollum. And I love CJ too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is like it feels like with that move and the attachment that Neil always had to CJ, because that was the guy that he drafted, you know, like you mentioned he was given credit for Dame, but that was Chad Buchanan. But yeah. CJ was his guy, and he had an attachment to CJ. Now it just kind of feels like that run is even ending here, and that Joe Cronin, the interim GM, he's probably going to move on from CJ too.
And the question is, like, how is CJ's health going to be? Because as all of this news comes down and everything's falling to the ground, you know, and CJ looks like he will be moved, hopefully he gets healthy for himself and for everyone, like, because I never want to see a guy go through, you know, Tyrod Taylor syndrome. But yeah, I think Joe Cronin, if he wants to keep that interim, if he wants to become a full-time GM, which, you know, from what I hear, he does, and there's a possibility that he could get that job, which I think would be very good for the organization from a stability standpoint. Like, he does need to make many moves. Like, I think you need to evaluate whether you move Nurk. Like, Nurk wants big money. We know that because he's hired Rich Paul, right? Like, Rich Paul gets guys paid or he abandons them like he did Nerlens Noel. So, like, Nurk is looking in a free agency class of centers where it's just him and DeAndre Ayton. And let's be real, DeAndre Ayton is staying in Phoenix. And unless something drastic happens, it's just Nurk. So if you want to extend Nurk, that needs to happen, and you need to make that decision now. But I don't know if necessarily Nurk is the answer right now. Mm-hmm. Like, centers are at an all-time low in terms of their value. He's proved to be not all that tough, especially in playoff times. I would look to move Nurk. I would look to move CJ if you could, especially, you know, wait for him to get healthy. He hasn't been playing well, right? Like, all this volatility. He's got a baby on the way. Like, everything's happening with the organization. So many trade rumors. Like, you should move on from him if you can get value. I think you also move Rocco, probably Anfernee Simons, and find players that work well with Dame. And I don't know if you guys saw this report because it got buried in the CJ McCollum piece, but, like, for Neil Olshey to turn down Drew Holiday, it made me sick. It made me sick to my stomach, because Portland fans know better than anyone, how important and how valuable Drew Holiday is, because he put Dame in prison.
Yep.
He turned Dame into Logo Lillard to a degree. That was one of the main catalysts for Dame becoming like a guy that shoots from half court, because guys like Drew put him in jail and they swept us. So if we could have gotten Drew Holiday, I think that changes the complexion of this franchise quite a bit.
And it's made all the worse because he went to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And the same thing, the same market, and it was the same deal, and it was like, we could have had that. I'm not saying we could have won the NBA title, but we would have been a lot better off than where we are now.
I mean, and I just don't think that, it's not that I think a small backcourt is impossible to work. It's just a backcourt as small as Portland's has been, with both guards having almost zero dedication to defense, really hurts you. It puts you in a situation where everybody else, it's like having, you know, a bad defensive line, and it trickles down. Like, now the linebackers have pressure on them, and now the corners and safeties have pressure on them. If you have a bad backcourt defensively, and they're just letting guys smoke them, like they're just barbecued chicken, it puts pressure on guys like Nurk and makes Nurk look worse.
All right, Trista Crick, BetMGM tonight, BetQL Network insider for us. From one piece of misery to the next, your alma mater is looking for a new head coach. The University of Oregon looking for a new head coach. I don't have BetMGM odds, but I do have odds that were sent to me for next head coach. And Chip Kelly is the leader at 7-4, followed by 2-1 Justin Wilcox, 4-1 Joe Brady, 5-1 Brian Harsin, 6-1 Kalani Sitake, 9-1 Matt Campbell. Dave Aranda is down at 14-1. Luke Fickell 20-1. Who do you want to be the next head coach of your Oregon Ducks?
If I had to choose, but I got to have the final say, and he said yes, I'd want Luke Fickell.
Yep.
Like what he's been able to do, taking over Cincinnati and turning them into the very first non-Power Five school to go to the college football playoff, and how he's been able to do it. I love Luke Fickell. I don't know if I would. The nostalgia is there, right? Like we want Chip Kelly because we imagine that Chip Kelly is going to bring us back to the glory day. I don't know if necessarily that's true. I don't know if I trust that. And I don't think anyone in Portland trusts that.
Right.
I think that's more like national media chatter. So yeah, I would love Luke Fickell. I'd love Matt Campbell. And I think David Aranda has really made Baylor a powerhouse as well. They've looked really, really good. He's from Cali. I'd love to see him recruit guys from LA to Oregon. Obviously with Lincoln Riley going to USC, that hurt my feelings. Like, I don't want to see USC get all the recruits, but I also want to see the Pac-12 be good again. And hopefully that's a part of it. And we know Lincoln Riley's not going to play defense, so we'll be able to score a lot of points on them. So yeah, those will be my top three.
We haven't even got to like any betting stuff, and we're already way over because we have to get to the Blazers and we have to get to the Ducks stuff. I do have one. I have one betting question before we get out, because now is the time where like, this is the big wave of the casual bettors will come racing in during bowl season, right? This is where the casual bettor gets hooked, and then they get NFL playoffs, and then they're in, right? Do you have tips for your bowl season in betting on the bowl season?
Yeah, I think you wait as long as you can to bet bowl games, just because, you know, you got, especially in the age of COVID, like you have kids going home, hanging out with their friends in their respective cities. And who knows, maybe they get a positive test. Mm. You know, also definitely keep an eye on these like little tiny bowl games where players like Kayvon Thibodeau and decide they're not even going to play, which I think there's going to be more and more players. If it's not the college football playoff, like why would I even play? So look at that. Just make sure you're aware of this. These rosters aren't going to be the same as they were in the regular season because of COVID, because of injuries, because of guys who decide to opt out because they want their draft stock to be as high as possible. And then obviously coaching changes, like Oregon, Oklahoma, like I don't even know who's coaching those teams. Like, I have no idea. Like what is our offensive coordinator's gone? Our defensive coordinator's gone. If you want a little tip, fade Oregon in that bowl game, because we all know, all fans of Oregon know how we've done in the Alamo Bowl in past years. We literally gave up the largest lead in bowl history. So I'm triggered by the Alamo Bowl. So yeah, I would wait as long as possible to bet those games, and then go with the coaches that you actually trust.
Vernon Adams.
I've been burned so many times by Kirby Smart. I think I'm going to fade him from now on.
Trista Crick, BetMGM tonight host. You are BetQL Network insider. Catch your podcast, The Heat Check, all things NBA. Always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next week. I'm sure we'll have lots to discuss with the Blazers.
right. Trista Crick, BetMGM tonight. You can catch it on all your Odyssey devices. Okay, whoa. Will's Conspiracy Corner next on The Fan.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
The only man a whole wait for is the Sky Blue Valley Kid in 83 Rock Taylors.
Special thanks to Trista Crick, BetMGM tonight. Every Wednesday at 1:30, she joins us. Don't bet the bowl games right now. Wait.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. We also had Jake Fisher on, Bleacher Report NBA writer, had a good write-up on the Blazers. If you missed either of those interviews, check them out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Will Darkins, today during our meeting of show prep, you said you wanted 1.5 segments of conspiracy theory talk where you could spout off your conspiracies and thoughts on the world. The clock starts now.
All right.
Okay.
You ready?
Ready.
Remember, you remember the 49ers-Ravens Super Bowl?
Yes.
Remember that, bro?
I do. Where the lights went out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a theory behind that.
All right. Hit me with
why
that
why those
theory.
Lights went out.
Okay.
You know who the quarterback was of the San Francisco 49ers?
Colin Kaepernick. You're saying the NFL.
It was a Kaepernick. It was an inside job. They were already starting the process.
Okay.
Of getting Colin Kaepernick out of the league. They said, this guy's going to be trouble. We're anticipating
the
it.
The lights went out.
And
huh?
We're just going to switch those lights off.
All right. There's conspiracy theory number one. Is that the biggest sports conspiracy theory you have?
It's one of them.
Okay. Oh. Now, are all of these sports, or are you going deeper into your conspiracy theory bag?
Now, to be honest, you were asking me about something, and I think I just jokingly said I wanted this to be a segment because I just thought it would be funny to fill time with this.
No, I gave you conspiracy theories, and I want your tinfoil hat, Darkins.
Also, the Jordan Sick game.
The flu game.
Now... I get the whole, yeah.
He was hungover.
But now you have heard the thing that, like, apparently two dudes came and brought him a pizza that he ate and that he got bubble guts the next day from it. That he basically was poisoned. Low-key poisoned.
You mean, did I watch The Last Dance? Yes, I watched The Last Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blamed the local Pizza Hut, I like to believe... that he was actually playing cards into the wee hours of the morning and got hammered.
Have you ever...
I like that theory better.
And now, have you ever read the Book of Basketball by Bill Simmons?
No.
You should read it. There is a story that Charles Oakley tells about Michael Jordan about going to a bar with him and how they went into the bar at 8 o'clock at night and left at 2:30 in the morning and that it was just this session of Jordan sitting... for 5-6 hours straight, gambling, drinking, and smoking. And he said it was just one of the more incredible things that he's ever seen somebody just continuously gambling, drinking, smoking, 5 hours, just on.
Yeah.
Like bathroom breaks, sure, but it was just like all the time doing that. He's like, it was the most just incredible thing I've ever seen.
And then like next morning went and dropped 40. Yeah, like right. He was just like, hey, well, what are you going to do? Roll out of bed and drop 40 on you. That, you know, Oakley and Jordan are good buddies.
Yeah.
Like they are really good buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine being so good at what you do? And it's like your job is to actually physically be better than somebody else at something.
Mm.
That you are so good at doing that. You can be hungover or okay, have the flu food poisoning, right? But being like, you're just like, yeah, screw it. I'm gonna, because there are the legend, even in The Last Dance, there were times where Jordan was talking about staying up late, going to Atlantic City with his dad before a playoff game against the Knicks. There are stories of going out and drinking and doing all that, just not in the NBA Finals Game 6. Could you imagine being that good and just being like, yeah, screw it, I can pull this off even without it, well, and still being the greatest to ever do it?
Well, that was kind of Johnny Manziel in college. I mean, really.
That wasn't kind of, that was Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, right?
In college.
Like, he was absolutely incredible in college, but like, I would encourage anybody, and maybe this is another conspiracy that I'll add to the list. Please go back and watch Johnny Manziel in college. It's the messiest football on planet Earth. It is like a D-minus version of Lamar Jackson's Heisman season. It is, dude. That Alabama game, all he does is just avoid defenders.
It was moments that did it.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, he was the most exciting player in football. So, yeah, he does get the Heisman. But
I think
like,
that was 9 years ago today, by the way.
No.
He won the Heisman.
No. What?
Yeah. I saw something.
Really?
I don't know if it was nine. Yeah. I think
that frightens me.
8675309 Yeah, it was something like that. The
Jenny, are you there?
I saw the...
Yeah, dude, 2012.
Yeah, nine years ago, like today, he won that Heisman.
Damn, Jameis Winston the year after that. Yeah, I feel old.
But this is but this is when...
makes me feel bad.
This is what it all comes back to, though, is that like Johnny Manziel, the coaches that were there on that staff said the hardest part of coaching Johnny Manziel was getting him to Saturday.
I would imagine.
Getting him to game day. Like, you get him to game day, that's fine. Like, whatever happened Sunday through Friday night was, they were white-knuckling it until you get to Saturday. Get Johnny to Saturday. And then when he got there, he was pretty damn good. Pretty, pretty good.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what I meant, though, by, like, who else was a final that year? Finalist for the Heisman, because it just, to me, Johnny Manziel was an exciting football player, but it was just so.
Is that Andrew Luck?
Yeah, Andrew Luck might have been in that lot, but it was just so kind of like.
Oh, that yeah, no, that was no. Johnny Manziel needed that. That was very similar to this year, except for there, it was
what Darren McFadden or
no,
something.
No, remember Manti Te'o.
Oh man, fake girlfriend
and Colin Klein.
Oh yeah, Kansas State. Yeah. Colin Klein. He definitely looked like a guy who played football but shouldn't be playing football.
Well, he would look like he was playing the wrong position.
Yes, that's right.
He looked like a fullback playing quarterback.
Yeah,
which is pretty perfect for Kansas State.
Boy, Manti Te'o, what a fake girlfriend, huh?
Oh, what a story that was. Jeez. I just take me back to that year. That year, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. All right, 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. We've got the hardest job in America next hour, but where we start, getting gouged, or is it the price to pay for a big-time event? AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.